Give me a second. We continue our series on Elijah. There's two left, today and June the 4th. Next week is family service, so we're not going to do Elijah. Steph's got something else going for you. In these two that are left, today and June 4th, I'm going to talk about something that I think is really, really important in our day. I'm going to talk with you about mental health. Research shows that they've done that just in a regular year, one out of five people struggles with anxiety. In 2022, that went from one to five to one in two. Look around. Struggling with anxiety. From April 2020 to April 2022, people struggling, showing signs of depression and anxiety went up from 11% to 40%. Little research that they did, 90% of people living in North America say they think that we're living in a mental health crisis. And 50% of those say, and we see that in our own homes. These are facts. Just watch our own television right now. Have you seen how many more commercials we have saying, here's where you can find help for mental health. Here's places that you can call. There's even a beautiful thing called Kids Help Phone, where they made this beautiful anthem that they sing, saying to kids, here's a place that you can call. Because so many of our teenagers, young people, are struggling with this even more than we've ever seen. So for these two Sundays, this one and the 4th of June, we're going to talk about how to love ourselves and others that are going through a season like this. But when I say that, I just want to remind you that the passage we're going to read, and when this passage was written, I don't think they knew words like mental health and depression. Don't think they even had terms for that. But today we're going to sit with a man who was so desperate, so depressed, so overwhelmed and burned out with his life that he came to a point where he was even saying, I'm not even sure if it's worth my while continuing on living in this world. So read with me. We're going to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 13. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. That's when he was on the mountain with the 850. They were cutting themselves, praying to Baal, and nothing happened. And then God sent the fire, and of course then all of them were killed. And then he said to Ahab, go, because the rain's coming. And then he ran in front of the chariot to Jezreel, where Jezebel was, and that's where Ahab told her. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. In other words, I'm going to kill you. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. And strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" When I read this, I thought to myself, what happened? Where's the Elijah that we got to know from chapter 17 onward? Elijah that walked into the palace with Ahab and Jezebel, looked them in the eye and said, "God's going to take care of you." Elijah who spoke to the clouds and they stopped raining. Elijah who spoke to death and death let go of the life of a young man that it was holding on to. Elijah who took 850 Baal prophets and said, "I'm going to take care of you." I mean, he was like, for me, this superhero prophet. There's nothing he couldn't do. And yet we find him under a tree. And I'm so glad when I read this that God puts stories like this in the Bible. Because here's the super prophet. He would even appear on the mountain later with Jesus again. Here's the super prophet Elijah. And Elijah says, "It's enough. I'm burned out. I'm overwhelmed. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. I can't do it." And he sits under that tree and he says, "I don't know what to do with myself anymore." And I read it and it helps a little bit, doesn't it? Because sometimes when this happens to us, I feel ashamed and embarrassed and I think, is something wrong with my faith? I want you to remind you that when you sit under that tree, just take a look at who's sitting right there next to you. There's Elijah, right there. But hold on, just look a little further than that. Maybe you'll recognize the guy sitting there too. His name is Moses. Remember Moses? In Numbers chapter 5, when he was so overwhelmed, when he was so burned out, what did he say? He prayed to God and he said, "It's time for me to go. I just want to die." But don't stop there. Look, there's a guy sitting next to him too. His name's David. Wrote all these beautiful psalms, but if you go read, I think Psalm 6, if I remember correctly, is one of those where he says, "I can't do this anymore. It's too much for me. And when I go to bed, I can't stop crying. My whole bed is like a bed filled with tears." It doesn't stop there. Look, it's Elijah, and there's Moses, and there's David. And there's a guy called Paul, sitting right there, under the tree with us. 1 Corinthians, I told you the last time, where Paul says, "So overwhelmed by all of this stuff that I am not sure that I'm going to make it. I think I might die." And someone's sitting here and thinking, "I can relate to all of this." Because here's the thing. None of us, not even the strongest of us, is immune against mental health and struggles with that. Anxiety, depression, burnout, just to name a few. Even Jesus. See, he's sitting with us in that same row. Remember Hebrews chapter 5, 2 Sundays ago, I read that for you, where it said, Jesus came before his Father and with loud cries, he cried out before him because he was anxious and overwhelmed. So here's the thing, will you please hear that? If Jesus' cheeks were filled with streaks of his tears, it's okay if you cry too. It's okay if it's hard for you too. It's okay to sit there and say, I'm a little overwhelmed. Doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. Doesn't mean that God has left you. Pointing fingers, get out of it. Get yourself together. Go on. Never hear God say that. For a moment, can I pause there? And I can say this because I know how this works. First congregation, I was a young man, early 20s. There was this amazing young woman, mother of two kids, who struggled with deep depression. She tried to take her life more than once. And every time she did that, I was the first call. One day as we sat in my office talking, I said to her, why do you always call me first? And she says, because you're the only one that has never said to me, get out of this, snap out of it, get yourself together and go on. Because I so want to, but I can't. What does God do? What does God do? Can I take you back to verse 5, 6, 7? And you don't have to put that on there, Ted. It's okay. Elijah sits under the tree. He says, I've had enough. I'm done. I'm going to die. And he falls asleep and then he's going to die. What does God do? God sends an angel. The angel touches him. He says, wake up, Elijah. There's some food. Eat. Sleep again. Wakes him up. He says, time to eat a little bit more, Elijah. Rest, Elijah. Because the journey is too long for you. Eat, rest, sleep. Eat, rest, sleep. That's what God says. It's okay to take a rest. There's a slide for this. Charles Spurgeon wrote this beautiful, beautiful piece. The bow cannot always be bent without fear of breaking. Rest time is not waste time. Even beasts of burden must be turned out to grass occasionally. The very sea pauses at ebb and flood. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less. How many of you know that the world didn't fall apart when on the seventh day God took a rest? So what makes you think that everything's going to fall apart if you take a rest? It's okay to rest sometimes. Take a break. Elijah did. But then there's this strange thing. He packs it up, and for 6 weeks, he travels south. And it's interesting if you see this on a map. It started on Mount Carmel, way up to the west side on the Mediterranean Sea. And he ran down south to Jezreel, where the palace was. From the palace, he ran down to Beersheba, down in Judah, south. And now from Beersheba, he's going right down into the desert to Mount Horeb. He's going down, 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 kind of like Jonah. Down, 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 down. And when he gets to the mountain of the Lord, what does he do? He goes into the first cave that he can find, and he goes into the darkness of the cave, and he lies down. That's it. I'm done. But God. And I'm going to preach you a sermon on but God one day. But God. God does not leave Elijah in that deep, dark cave, in the back of that cave. God comes to Elijah, verse 9, and he asks him a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah answers, like we do sometimes, with a complaint. Because you see, here's the problem. When we go into the darkness of that cave and we go hide back there in the darkness, it blurs all of my perspective. Elijah says, I am the only one that is left. That's his perspective. It's not true. Next week, 2 weeks, we'll see. There's 7,000 more like him. Elijah says, you have abandoned me. That's his perspective in the cave. It's not true. God is looking him up. He's right there. Elijah says, my work is done. That's his perspective. It's not true. He still has to go anoint 2 kings, and he still has to anoint Elisha that's going to take his place and continue his work. It gets a little blurry in the darkness of the cave, and life gets a little blurry, and my perspective gets a little blurry. So what does God do? 3 things. First thing, God speaks to Elijah. He calls him. He says, Elijah, come here. Come stand in my presence. Can I just ask you to hear that? I know, because I've been there. I've been in my own moments of anxiousness, and I'm sure I've hit depression at some stage. I've been a minister for 40 years. It's going to happen. What happens? It's all these voices. You know that. They come at you from left, right, center. That's just, they just never let you go. You can't sleep. It just overwhelms you. Will you please listen to the one voice that is more important than any of all of those voices? The one that says, come stand in my presence. Will you listen to God's voice? Let it be the loudest one that you hear, please. My favorite voice story, you know that I've always said, read that at my the day that I die at my service, please. Isaiah 43. Do not be afraid. Listen to that voice. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by your name and you are mine. What do the other voices say? You're worthless. You're not good enough. You're never going to make it. I have ransomed you. I have called you by your name and you are mine. When you go through the rivers and the waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown, for I will be with you. When you go through the flames of oppression, you will not burn and you will not be consumed. For I am the Lord, your God, your Savior. And listen to these words. You are precious to me. You are honored. And I love you. What a voice. What a voice. Will you listen to that voice? Even if you're still back there. The cave. What's the second thing God does? He says, come out. Come out of the cave, Elijah. Just come stand outside here so that you can be in my presence. Because isn't that what we often want to do? We want to hide away. But as long as we're in the dark, it stays dark. It doesn't change. Get out. Come stand in the presence of the Lord. There's a wonderful book that was written. It's called The Grace Disguised. It's written by a man called Jerry Sitzer. Jerry Sitzer, professor emeritus at Wentworth University in the States. Jerry, his wife, his mother-in-law, and his 4 children were driving in a vehicle when their vehicle had a collision with a drunk driver. His wife, his mother, and his youngest child were killed instantly in that accident. For the next months and years after that, Jerry said he struggled with so much depression and darkness and being overwhelmed that he felt that I'm so in such a deep, dark hole, I will never be able to get out of this. And through this, he wrote this book, A Grace Disguised. And then he says this, and you've read it already. He says, I didn't know about getting forward, but then I realized this. The quickest way for anyone to reach the light of day is not to run west chasing the sun, but to head east, plunging into the darkness until one comes to the sunrise. Isn't that profound? Don't try running west, trying to catch the sun. Turn around, run into the darkness. Because where does it start? Where that sun comes up, and I'm going to find it. God does another thing. God calls him to stand close to him and come into God's holy presence. When Elijah's in that cave, God says, come stand outside. And as Elijah stands there, there's this huge wind. And you can just imagine that image for us as well. When you're going through tough times, it sometimes feels like that wind's blowing you and it's overwhelming you. And then came the earthquake that shattered everything around it. And sometimes when we're in those moments, it feels like our world is just in an earthquake and it never stops. And then there's this fire that just burns. But I wonder if you noticed the buts in every one of those. There was a great wind, but God was not in that scary wind that took everything away. Then there was this earthquake that shook the earth, but God was not in that. And then there was this consuming fire, but God was not in that. And then there was a whisper. And God was in the whisper. And here's the thing about a whisper. You have to listen carefully to hear the whisper. What are you doing here, Elijah? Listen for the voice. Listen for the whisper. Because God has never turned his back on you. Even when you sit under that tree and you feel I've had enough or it's too much. Listen to that whisper that reminds you who you are. And we sang it this morning. I am who you say I am. I am a child of God. Do you know what that means? You're a child of God because Jesus came into the darkness to bring his light into your life. You're a child of God because Jesus went to that cross and he nailed to that cross and he died for me and for you so that I can hear my Father say, I love you. You are precious to me. I know that you're going through this. I've been there. I've done that. I was in this world. I get it. Don't give up. Don't allow the perspective that is blurred to become your life. Seek me. Seek me. Seek my presence. Come stand in my presence and listen for the whisper because I'm never going to yell at you. I'm just going to whisper into your life. I'm not standing here saying, hey, it's easy. I can never stand here and say, get over it. You can't. There's only one that gets you through that. Please listen to that voice. I'll say a little bit more about this next week, but we have set something up in this church. We have a gift from someone who made a wonderful donation to this church and said, this is to help folks that are struggling with mental health. We're going to have some funds available that will be there for those of us who can't afford to go for help and we need some help. We're going to help you. I'll talk about that more in 2 weeks' time. We're going to show you some of the things that are available. And I'm very careful when I speak about this because it is really difficult. And it's really hard, and especially in these times, because of so many people needing help, help is not always that easy to find. You try and you just can't get in somewhere. We're going to try and help as much as we can. But we're going to be there for you. We're going to walk with you. Together, we're going to listen for that voice. And we're going to stand in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to run east and hear Him say, "What are you doing here? I'm with you." Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Spirit of God, for moving through this place. Thank you that right now in this moment, you are ministering to some of us, or maybe all of us, because maybe we're struggling with exactly what we spoke about. And we put on a brave face and we try and be okay, but we know that we're not. Thank you that we can come to you. You won't leave us there in the darkness. You'll bring us out to the light again. We pray, Lord, that we will find help. We pray, Lord, for those who are giving help, for it is not an easy thing to do. Thank you that we may speak openly about our own lives. Thank you for the voice. Thank you for the reminder of who we are. Thank you that we may place ourselves in your hands and know that we are safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.